Beloved, in Jesus' name, amen. Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? We are here to worship God. We are here also to be serviced. And we are here to receive from the throne of God. Maybe just as an introduction, I just want to say to you, many things and many bad things are happening in the world. And sometimes you become despondent and you don't know how to handle that. But Jesus is our only hope. Amen. Amen. Jesus came on earth and delivered people. He came, he died for us so that we might be set free. But when he left, he commissioned his church to continue with his work. Amen. I want to tell you that Jesus has confidence in his church. Amen. Amen. Jesus has full confidence in his church, which is you and I. Amen. So we have to continue with his works. Haven't you come to a point sometimes when you say, if Jesus was here, or I wish we had lived during the time of Jesus? So today I just want to share with you, to show you that actually Jesus is here through you. And Jesus wants to continue to do his works. As we go into the book of Joel, chapter 3, verse 9. This one is not in my notes, but we've got to start there. Joel 3, 9. You will do it in the King James Version, Mr. MJ. I want us to confess together the following words. Follow me with this. God is at work in me. He does not reduce himself to my standard, but he raises me to his standard. The world is waiting for the life of Jesus in me. The world is waiting for us. We have the life of God, and we transmit that life. What we have, the world needs. Amen.
Amen.
How do you like that? Amen.
Amen.
And we're going to, today I want us just to wake up the church of God. The church is like a sleeping giant. The church has got the power. We have been empowered by Jesus himself. But if you find a sleeping giant, the sleeping giant is ineffective, isn't it? But we need to awaken the sleeping giant, the church of God. So read that, Joel 3:9, King James Version.
Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men.
Okay, wake up the mighty men. I want to focus more on that. It talks about preparing war, but it says, wake up the mighty men. So it means if you are mighty and you are sleeping, you are ineffective. So today I want to talk about the effective church. The effective church. So we say, when he says, wake up the mighty men, in essence, he's saying, if you leave the mighty men sleeping, they are ineffective. Sometimes you find that we are in this world as the church of God. We are just like the world. We are running for a hiding from the enemy, just like the world. You remember when Goliath challenged the people of God, the Israelites? He came there, he was boasting, parading, and the Bible says they were running away, they were scared, those Israelites, until a David came, somebody who knew his God. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that can talk about my God like this? We want people with a heart like David, militant people who know their place in the Lord. So just to show you what Jesus has done when he was on the earth, go with me to the book of Acts chapter 10, verse 38. King James Version. And this, what I'm going to share with you, which Jesus has done, he then, after that, says he wants to send us, his people, to the world. The world needs Jesus, and Jesus needs you, because we are the body of Christ. Acts 10:38, King James Version.
How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power.
Okay. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. Can, if you are a child of God and you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and baptized with the Holy Ghost, you are anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. Okay? And that anointing is not for decoration. What did he do after he was anointed?
Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Did you get that? So the anointing is the enabling part. But if you are enabled and you do nothing, the anointing doesn't help. So God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. I want to go about doing good. Tell your neighbor, I want to go about doing good. Because I'm anointed. Amen. And I want to go about healing all those who are oppressed of the devil. Because we are anointed. Jesus wants to continue working through us. And if you go with me to the book of John 20:21, NIV, listen to Jesus himself explaining that he's sending us. Because God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, when Jesus left, before he left, he had to pass the baton. You know, in a relay race, if you want your team to win, you need to be able to pass on the baton. Amen? So that then, when you have run your race, you pass on the baton. That's why even for us who are parents, all of us, you need to be keeping on training also your children, so that when you depart, you pass on the baton. So when Jesus was about to leave, he passed the baton to his church. Listen, John 20:21 NIV.
Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you."
Did you hear that? As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Tell your neighbor, Jesus is sending us. The anointing part is just the beginning, the enablement. But sometimes you find the mighty church of God seated and sleeping. So we need to wake up the mighty warriors. So he says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And go to Mark chapter 16, verse 20, King James Version. As he is sending us, as he is sending his disciples, he doesn't send us and we go alone. This is how good the Lord is. You know, we have God the Father, who manifested himself largely in the Old Covenant. And in the New Testament, we hear more about God the Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died for us. And when he left, he said, "I do not want to leave you comfortless. I send you the Holy Spirit," who is God, the Holy Spirit, the one whose dispensation we are living in now. So when Jesus says, "I'm going and I'm sending you," he did not send us helpless. So listen to this. Mark 16:20. After they were sent, King James Version.
And they went forth.
Yes, they went forth. I like this thing of going forth. You know, these days we usually just like staying put. We're not going forth. We're not reaching out. They went forth
and preached everywhere.
Are we going to go out and preach everywhere? May this vicinity, may these places or wherever you are, may people know you for speaking about Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Pastor Josephine is very good at this. Usually if she meets you, you've got to pay by being told about Jesus. she gives you a lift, you've got to pay by being told about Jesus. If she helps you, you've got to pay by being told about Jesus. I think it's a good thing. Amen. They went out everywhere. They went forth and preached everywhere. Mm-hmm. As they were preaching, what happened?
The Lord working with them.
I like that part. I like it that when he's sending us, he doesn't send us alone. They went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them. The Lord will work with us. The Lord will work with us. I'm confident. It's like when I pray for people, I know it's the Lord working with me. Amen. I know I'm not doing this of my own accord. He is working with me. So today, even when we finish with the service, we're going to have time to pray together. And as you are praying, be confident that the Lord is working with me. Amen. I'm just a vessel of the Master. Amen. The Master is doing his work. Amen. And if it's the Master doing his work, do you have to be proud about anything? Mm-mm. You're just the vessel. Amen. The reason why sometimes people are proud is because they think it's them doing the work. So they went forth. Just repeat that and read it in full.
And they went forth and preached everywhere. Mm. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I also like that when we preach, when we tell you what God has said, I like it when he confirms it. Amen. Amen. To show that it's not our word. I mean, if I tell you that Jesus is a healer, he needs to confirm that word in your life. If I tell you that Jesus, our God, is the provider, and you have a need, he has got to confirm that word in your life. Amen. We tell you what he has said, and it is his responsibility to confirm it. Jeremiah 1:12 says, you have seen correctly, for I am watching over my word to fulfill it. Amen. So he wants to fulfill his word. So it says, as they went forth going everywhere, he was working with them and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. He confirmed the word with signs following. And when I speak, I want God to confirm the word with signs following. Amen. Because I'm just speaking his word. But now, if you look in the church today, we are not much hungry to see what the Lord does. Sometimes we're busy transactioning in church. We're busy sometimes with our own agenda instead of the agenda of Jesus. So the church of God needs to wake up and do what Jesus has commissioned us to do. Jesus has got full confidence in his church. Tell your neighbor, Jesus has full confidence in his church. And we've got to align ourselves. So I believe that the word that I'm sharing you today, with you today, it will awaken you to stand and do the works of Jesus. And know that the Lord is coming back. When he comes back, so he says this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world, then the end will come. So in other words, when the Lord wants to come back, he wants to come back, but he wants to ensure that everybody has heard the word. So we need to go forth and preach. And when we go forth and preach, he will go with us and confirm the word with signs following. And the thing I like about God is that when he gives us a job to do, he enables us. Amen. He does not necessarily call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. Amen. Amen. So in other words, when he calls you like a Moses who says, I can't even speak. I stutter when I talk. And he says, that's the kind of people I need. Because I want to enable the called. I want to empower them so that people will not boast on their abilities. Paul says, have you ever noticed about your calling? How many of you are not necessarily the wisest in the world, but God is using you? so that God may confound the wisdom of the wise, so that no flesh can boast in the presence of God. So I like to work with the anointing of God. Even Jesus, when he came on earth, he was anointed. And I'm also anointed. Go with me to the book of Luke chapter 4. Verse 18 to 19, New Living Translation. Luke 4, 18 to 19, NLT. Because the same way that God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he has anointed us too. Because his work still needs to be done. There is a work to do. You remember we sing that song, there is a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. You know, there are victories waiting for us to win them. There is a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. And we've got to have that attitude of soldiers. Attitude of a soldier. A soldier who does not retreat. A soldier who says, we are marching on. So Luke 4, 18 and 19, NLT.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Okay, when he says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, it means I am anointed. I am empowered. So let me just explain this one. You will see these two words in the Bible. It would either talk the Spirit in you or the Spirit upon you. Okay? So when you are a child of God and you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the Spirit of God in you. Okay? But then there is something that we call the Spirit of God upon. Okay? You remember in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he says, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost come upon you. That's different now. It's not in you. In you, it's a well for personal use. Okay? To guide you, to lead you. But upon you, it's a river to go out there and be empowered to make a difference. Amen. So it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So if the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, it's not just for personal use now. I've got to do something. Why is the Spirit of the Lord upon me? He has anointed me.
Mm-hmm. For he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor.
So I'm anointed to bring good news. You know, when you speak the word under the anointing, it's different. Amen. That's why sometimes scholars, they can study a lot of things, and when they are telling you something, you can feel it's dry. Even if it's well researched, but it's dry. It doesn't have an impact on your spirit. So the anointing is what makes the difference. When a word is spoken under the anointing, you feel uplifted. You feel convicted. You feel something in you saying, yes, yes, yes. So he says, the Spirit is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news. Mm-hmm.
He has sent me to...
Okay, again, you see now, sent. He has sent me. So Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I want to send you too. He has sent me... Mm-hmm.
To proclaim that captives will be released.
Okay. So it's not good for people to be kept in bondage. God knows that. So he wants to send his people. He anoints us and he wants us to go and declare freedom to the captives. When you feel bound and you feel dejected and you are depressed and you don't know what to do, you're even thinking of committing suicide, that is the time when the word of God needs to come and turn you around. That indeed I was feeling down, I was feeling dejected, but I have hope now because I had the Lord under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released. Mm-hmm.
That the blind will see.
That the blind will see. Here you can take it both ways. Both we can talk about spiritually blind, that they need to see, but also that the eyes of the blind must be opened, like during the time of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
He said this thing and he used to do his works. Now he wants to do his work through his church.
Mm-hmm. that the oppressed will be set free.
So the oppressed has to be set free. If you are oppressed, you've got to be set free through the word. You know, sometimes we are oppressed. Sometimes it's things that people have done to us, and you are bitter. You know that when you are bitter, it also affects your health. Huh? You're bitter, and inventor, there's a thing of, ndichimubona mato anga abvamaro. There's a thing, it says, when I look at this person, my eye, the blood comes out of my eyes instead of tears. Just to show how much you hate that person. You are in bondage. You are in bondage. Amen. Somebody said unforgiveness is like eating a poison and expecting it to hurt somebody. But you are the one who's ingesting the poison. Because you are allowing that situation to master you. You remember what Cain was told? When Cain was bitter against his brother after killing his brother, the Bible says, and sin is waiting for you at the door, but you must master it. It must master you. So when sin is waiting to master you, you can be in bondage. You can be oppressed. And you find you no longer enjoy life. You find that God has blessed you with so many things, but you can't enjoy them. Because you are in bondage. So when the word of God comes, may it give us freedom. Amen. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Amen. And that's who I am.
Amen.
Can we say we are free indeed?
We are free indeed.
I'm free indeed.
I'm free indeed.
Amen.
Amen.
Set the captives free. Verse 19.
And that the time of the Lord's favor has come.
I also want to proclaim that. I'm telling you, the time of the Lord's favor has come. It is time for the Lord's favor.
Yeah.
So when I move around, I expect favor.
Yeah.
I expect the Lord's favor upon my life.
Yeah.
You know, I usually tell people that while some of you are expecting tragedies, I'm expecting favor. You know, people, when they want to undertake a journey, you never know. I may just go out here and you see these horrific accidents that are happening. We're seeing them all over on TV. Maybe it will happen also to me. If that's your expectation, you didn't read the Bible. Because for me, I expect favor.
Yes.
Tell your neighbor, I expect favor.
I expect favor.
Yeah, I expect that when I move from here, somebody says, Pastor, it's a long time that I haven't seen you. What, give me your bank details.
Amen.
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 Yeah, that's my expectation. Because I'm blessed.
Amen.
The Bible says, if you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, Deuteronomy 28, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's my expectation. So if it is the time for the Lord's favor, I have to expect favor. Amen.
Amen.
And look at how Paul actually explains this well, because he also realized that sometimes we don't understand what the church is there for. The church doesn't understand her role. Go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 15 to 23. We'll do it in the Message translation. Ephesians 1, 15 to 23 in the Message translation. So here Paul was praying for the church of Ephesus. But his main emphasis was about them being enlightened to see what God has in store for them. To see who they are in Christ. I'm here now sharing this word to you so that you may know who you are in Christ. That your eyes may be opened. That you may see all the good things that the Lord has done for you. You know, the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know that sometimes the Lord has blessed us so much and we forget. We forget because we're still looking for other things. instead of appreciating what we have. Can I give you a simple example? Those of you who are worried that you don't have a car, it's good to trust God for a car. I've got more than one. So I can't bar you from trusting God for a car. You need to do that. But you don't have to be worried like people of the world. Because if you ever see somebody not able to walk and they are wheeled on a wheelchair, you're going to start thinking, oh, actually I can walk. I need to be thankful to the Lord that I can walk. There are other people who can't walk. But if you don't count your blessings, you are going to miss out. You are alive today and you are not in a coma. You are here. So if you go and you find a person in a coma, even if you tell them they have a lot of money, that money is useless, isn't it? So you are here. Try to count the blessings. Amen. Count your blessing. Name them one by one. Mention them. I thank God that I'm healed. I actually like that one. Every day I talk about, Father, I thank you for divine health. I thank you for life. I thank you for what you keep on providing for me. Amen. The Lord is our provider. So look at this Ephesians chapter 1, 15 to 23 in the Message translation. Then you will realize that actually we need to be awakened to see what God has in store for us. Ephesians 1, 15 to 23 Message.
That's why when I heard of the solid trust you have in the Master Jesus and your outpouring of love to all the followers of Jesus.
So they had the solid trust in the Master Jesus. I have the solid trust in the Master Jesus. I actually listen more to him than listen more to what the world says. Because many Christians know a lot of things that are happening in the world. They know the latest news. They know everything. But they don't know a single scripture. Unfortunately, those things don't necessarily help. It's just information. But you need to know the word. Okay? So that you can have solid trust in the Master. So that you can know that God is in charge. He has the final word.
Amen.
Continue.
I couldn't stop thanking God for you.
Okay. Do we sometimes pray for one another? Today I'm going to give you time to pray for one another. So if you don't, today, unfortunately, you are in church. You will have to. We need to pray for one another. I need your prayers as much as you need mine. We need each other's prayers. We are like soldiers in an army. We are there to watch each other's back. Okay? Let me give you a simple example. Those of you who watched maybe National Geographic Channel, there is this thing that they usually use to show the animals. There's one thing that I liked about the buffaloes. Okay? So I believe if all these are my fellow buffaloes, no lion can do us any harm. You know what the buffaloes do? So they know that at the back they are vulnerable. That's the only place where the lion can attack a buffalo. The lion cannot attack a buffalo here. It will be in trouble. If that lion wants to die, let it attack the buffalo from the front. Then it will be dead. You know that. So what the buffaloes do, they then make a circle and I look here. And my back, somebody is looking that side. The other one is looking that side. The other one is looking that side. It doesn't matter how hungry the lion is. It will never attempt.
Amen.
So our adversary, the devil, is roaming around like a lion, seeking him whom he may devour. So the only way for the lion to get one of the buffaloes, what is the only way? Huh? What is the only way? One of the buffaloes has to jump out. So you see how dangerous is it to jump from church? So your adversary, so you've been safe because you are next to other buffaloes. Okay? Now all of a sudden somebody answers you in another way and the devil says, it's time to move. It's time to quit church. That's really bad. You've got to quit. And he knows he was hungry. He wanted to eat. And now, oh, now you've got the back exposed. And then the lion gets that buffalo. So when it says, I don't stop thanking God for you and praying for you, it's like we are covering each other.
Amen.
We are covering each other because we are the church of God.
Amen.
Amen. I once heard this thing. Yeah, I heard Kenneth Copeland saying, he heard from Jimmy Swaggart saying, the only army in the world that he knows about, which if one of its fellow soldiers is wounded, they finish that one, is the church. That's the only army. The rest of the army, when one of the soldiers is injured, they go and protect that wounded soldier. Amen? To lift them. But sometimes you find the church of God, when you hear somebody has fallen into sin, yeah, he used to always do this. Yeah. Let's finish it. We are in the same army.
Yeah.
We need as many soldiers as we can. I need you, you need me. Amen. We should be there to cover each other's back. So he says, I don't stop. Continue. Verse 16.
I couldn't stop thanking God for you. Every time I prayed, I'll think of you and give thanks.
And I'm glad that I do that with you. When I pray, I think of you and give thanks and pray for you. I pray for you that the Lord will preserve you. Amen. That you may be preserved wherever you go. Continue.
But I do more than thank. I ask. Ask the God of our Master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally.
He wants the God to make us intelligent and discerning to know him personally. You know that sometimes you find people in church who do not have a personal knowledge about the Lord. And you can hear from the way they speak. You can see from the way they do things. Then you know that they are in church, yes, but Jesus is not in their hearts. Okay? So he says, I want to ask God to help you to know Jesus, to be intelligent and discerning, to know him personally. Continue.
Your eyes focused and clear. So that you can see exactly what it is he's calling you to do.
So I want my eyes to be focused and clear. And when we are going to pray before the end of this service, we also need to pray for one another that, Lord, open our eyes so that we may see exactly what you want us to do. What is the reason for calling us? What is the reason that you have placed us at this place at such a time as this?
Yeah.
Continue.
Grasp the immensity of his glorious way of life he has for his followers.
I think I will ask you to read it, that one. You can't call it immensity. You must say immensity. That means, just reread it nicely, Mr. MJ, because that's a powerful word. It's one of the words you must know. You like some of these words, Mr. MJ. So that's one of the words you must know. To grasp what?
To grasp the immensity of his glorious way of life he has for his followers.
So it means, it seems Jesus has got a glorious way of life for us. So if I'm not experiencing that glorious life, I need to be awakened. He says, I'm praying that you may grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life that he has for his followers. I want my eyes to be opened.
Amen.
And we need to pray for one another. That, Lord, open our eyes that we may see the immensity of this glorious way of life. A life like that of an eagle. You know, okay, those of you who've read my latest book, that one, Key to Extraordinary Life, the picture there on the outside, that eagle, is to say that an eagle, if you compare it with any other bird, an eagle, it's not controlled by like other birds, and it doesn't get tired. easily. It mounts up high. When there are storms, it's able to transcend the storms. And you will see that it's just going like this. And it can be like that for quite a long time and not growing weary. That's why the Bible says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. That's Isaiah. They will mount up high with wings as eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. When other birds are getting tired, you will keep on enjoying the glorious way of life. When other people are saying, we don't know what's happening in these days, life is just tough, you will be saying, I see the glory of the Lord in my life. I see the glory of the Lord in my family. I see the glory of the Lord in our church. Verse 19.
Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him.
Yo, Mr. MJ, today they're just using your words. Extravagance. The utter extravagance of his work in us. In other words, what the Lord is doing in us is not just a mediocre thing. Okay? You know that sometimes we just say, no, it's fine. It's good enough for the Lord. You can just do this. No. We want excellence. We want utter extravagance.
Yes.
Of his work in us. Mm-hmm. Who trust in him?
Endless energy.
Endless energy. You can see it's not a sleeping church.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
Boundless strength.
Yes.
Mm. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe.
Repeat that. I like that. I like it when my master is in charge of running the universe. So it means if Jesus is in charge of running the universe, I told you, he has passed the baton
to us.
In Isaiah, it says, the government shall be upon his shoulder. So if Jesus is the head of the church and the government is upon his shoulder, upon whom is the government? Upon us.
Amen.
So he is in charge of running the universe.
Mm.
So that's why as his people, we've got to go out there and enforce the kingdom of God. Jesus would say to the people, if you see me casting out devils and healing the sick, it shows that the kingdom of God has come among you. Let people experience the kingdom of God, the power of God, because of the living church of Jesus. So he's in charge of running the universe.
Mm-hmm. Everything from galaxies to governments.
Mm.
No name and no power exempt from his rule.
So if there is no name and no power exempted from his rule, it means every knee shall bow to the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So as a child of God, when you confront situations, you'll have to say, in the name of Jesus, I command you. You take your authority as a child of God. You take your authority as the church of God, as the body of Christ.
And not just for the time being, but forever.
Amen.
Mm. He is in charge of it all.
Yes.
Has the final word on everything.
I like it. I like it when Jesus has the final word on everything. So it means I may be down today, but it's not over.
Yeah.
Amen? Mm. The Lord has the final word on everything. Mm. You remember the other time I was giving you an example about those of you who understand boxing. When I grew up, I used to like watching boxing. Just watching only, not playing it. So I would... You would find that people are fighting for many rounds, and then when it starts, and another one might be knocked down, the person would be down, and then the referee would go and say, one, two, and then at three, the person stand up. Then the referee would Just hold your hands and see if you're still fighting. Then you continue fighting. And then sometimes you find they are fighting, but their eyes are like this, isn't it? But they are still fighting. So if you are in a battle, that's just the evidence that you are in battle.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
And then, ultimately, if you knock out your enemy or your opponent, they don't say, but you were knocked out in round one. They don't say, but your eyes are swollen. They say, and still, the heavyweight champion of the world. Even if your eyes are like this and you continue going like that, that's not an issue. I'm a champion.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, I'm a champion. So it means some of the scars people are seeing on you, it's just an evidence that I was in a battle.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But it's not defining on whether I'm a champion or not. So whatever you have gone through is just an evidence that you have gone through something. But you are still here.
Amen.
You are a champion. Because Jesus has the final word on everything. What is at the center?
At the center of all this,
mm-hmm.
Christ rules the church.
Okay.
The church, mm-hmm. you see,
mm.
is not peripheral to the world.
Mm.
The world is peripheral to the church.
Mm.
The church is Christ's body
mm.
in which he speaks and acts.
Do you see what is the church? Repeat that, because to me this is powerful.
Mm.
What is the church?
The church is Christ's body.
Okay.
In which he speaks and acts.
Don't you like that?
Amen.
The church, can we all say, the church is Christ's body. In which he speaks and acts. Which means as I'm speaking to you now, Jesus is speaking. Amen. When we go out there and do the works of Jesus, he is doing the work through us. Jesus used to say, the Father, it is not I doing the work. It is the Father in me doing his work. So the church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts. By which he fills everything with his presence. You see how much God has invested in the church? And what is the expectation of the church? The church is Christ's body. Actually, the church, Jesus himself is the one who's building his church. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Go with me to the book of Matthew chapter 16. 18 and 19, we do it in the Message translation. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. Because if you don't understand who you are as part of the body of Christ, as part of the church of Christ, you will be running like those Israelites who were afraid of Goliath. Mm. Read it in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. You see, this is what the devil does. He doesn't have new tricks. So he used to threaten people then. He keeps on threatening people even now. He will keep on threatening you. Sometimes he will even bring some of the dreams and you see the bad things that are happening. You say, oh, now, and you are like that. You remember the Amalekites? There was a time when Gideon was going to fight with the Amalekites and God had already given them victory. And then, because Gideon was not sure, so the Lord said, take your servant Purah and go next to the camps of the Amalekites and listen. So as they went there and they were listening. Then another one said, I dreamt a big bow rolling, tumbling down and coming on and flattening all our tents. And the other one said, oh, that's nothing else but the sword of Gideon. You see, they were dreaming how the enemy would annex them. So you must never dream the enemy annexing you. So if I ever dream the enemy annexing me, when I wake up, I say, it's time to pray. Because that's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
Amen? Yes. So Matthew 16, 18, and 19, Message translation.
And now I am going to tell you who you are.
Okay.
Really are.
So we are going to be told who we are. And we need to be awakened to that fact.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You are Peter, a rock.
Imagine Peter being not very confident of himself. Peter being a timid Peter. You remember even when they were arresting Jesus? And then Jesus had told them that they were going to deny him. And Peter said, no, not me, not me. But when they were now asking, oh, we know this one was with him. No, it's not me. And then they came next to the fire. Then the other young girl said, but even his speech, it's not me. He was timid, isn't it? But if he knew who he really was. So he says, I want to tell you who you really are. Peter, the rock. Mm-hmm.
This is the rock on which I will put together my church. Mm. A church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out.
You see the kind of church that Jesus is building. He's not building a timid church. He's not building a sleeping church. He's building a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell can prevail against it. Amen. So that's why we must never be afraid of the enemy. Deuteronomy 20 tells you about when you go to battle against your enemies and you see that they've got armies more than yours, don't be afraid. Don't panic. So even in the inside, when you're starting to feel that fear is like it's grasping you, be bold. Be bold. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Okay? Mm-hmm.
And that's not all.
Okay, it's not all. Okay.
You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom.
People, do you see that? He says it's not all just to say that not even the gates of hell will be able to prevail against the church. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Mm. I like that.
Yes.
I like that when I've got complete access to the kingdom. Mm. So it means you can't convince me any other way. Because you see, the problem with most people is they want to use other people's experiences to define your faith. They tell you, you say you are trusting God for this and this and this. Another great man of God trusted God for this and this and it didn't work. The Lord didn't say I must trust on what the other men of God did. My faith is established on what God has said. Amen. Amen. So when it says, I give you complete and free access to the kingdom. So it means, that's why Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? On earth as it is in heaven. Do you think in heaven they're all depressed and not know what to do and almost at the point of committing suicide, all the angels there? Things not working out. No. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it means when I see some things that are not aligned to the kingdom, I have to enforce it because I'm a child of God. Amen. I'm a soldier. Amen. I bring order. Amen.
Amen.
That's why the book of Job says, you will decree a thing and it will be established for you.
Amen.
Amen. I decree things. You know, like even when I pray for the sick, I don't say, Lord, remove this sickness. I say, in the name of Jesus, I command you, sickness, leave him. Amen. I've got access to the kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Even when you feel that there are things that are threatening you, and you're starting to feel fear coming, You need to say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There is no other name than the name of Jesus. There is no other name under heaven or earth that by which man can be saved except the name of Jesus. So he says, that's not all. You will have complete and free access to the kingdom.
Keys to open any and every door.
Hey, but he's spoiling us, ne? Ask your neighbor, it seems like he's spoiling us here. Keys to open any and every door. By the way, I once heard this. I heard that not all doors that are closed are locked. So sometimes when you see a closed door, you stand there and you don't open it. And you say it's locked, it's closed. No, check whether it's locked. And if it's locked, he has given you the keys of the kingdom. So that you can unlock doors that needs to be unlocked. And you lock doors that needs to be locked. Where you don't want the enemy to intrude, you lock. Where you want the angels of the Lord to bring your answers, you unlock.
Amen.
You remember when Daniel prayed in the book of Daniel. It talks about Daniel prayed and then for 21 days his answer could not come to him. And when the answer came ultimately on day 21, the angel Gabriel says to him, the very first day that you prayed, your prayer was answered. And I'm coming in response to that prayer. So some of your prayers are already answered. But he said, what happened? He said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me all these 21 days that I couldn't bring the answer to you until the archangel Michael, we know Michael is a man of war. Yeah. Let's all say he's a man of war. Gabriel, usually we just hear him being sent. We don't ever hear him fighting. So the prince of the kingdom of Persia, this answer can't go. No, leave me. I want to bring this answer to Daniel. No. Until Michael, the archangel, came and helped me. And now I'm here to bring your answer. So, it means some of the doors that the enemy is closing, you've got the authority to open them.
Amen.
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 And you say, in the name of Jesus, that's my answer. Amen. You cannot stop my breakthrough. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
And look.
No more barriers between heaven and earth. Earth and heaven. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. A no on earth is a no in heaven.
You see, people, how the Lord has spoiled us and how he has given us authority. He says, whatever, in other translation, he says, whatever you declare to be unlawful on the earth will also be declared unlawful in heaven. Whatever you declare to be lawful on earth will also be declared lawful in heaven. So for me, I would say, I told you that I'm not going to die young. The enemy cannot kill me, not even in an accident. Why? Because he has given his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. So it means when I'm driving, when I'm going wherever I'm going, the angels have to protect me. I am a servant of the Lord. I'm an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. And you know what I'm doing now? I'm speaking into the spiritual realm.
Yes.
Just like some of you can speak, oh, you never know. I can go out here and get knocked down by the car. You are allowed to speak, but I'm not allowed to speak. It's not fair. I speak my faith, you speak your doubt.
Yeah.
So don't do that. Let's confess what God has said, and let's keep on speaking it. so that a yes on earth may be a yes in heaven. A no on earth will be a no in heaven. So I have the authority to prohibit things. I've got authority to permit things. Amen. And even when we are going to pray, I'm going to give you time to exercise the authority. Some of the things that you were thinking about, now you've got to speak like somebody with authority. Amen. You speak like somebody with authority. That's where actually sometimes you need a bit of King James. You know, when you're speaking sometimes with the King James language, it feels a bit powerful. I command thee. Thou must stop it. Amen. Amen. So you put even some of the King James language there and exercise your authority like a soldier, like somebody who has authority. Let's start winding down because we need to give you time to pray. Let's go together to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 in the New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians 6:16 NLT. Because as much as the Lord is sending us his church, he is working in us. He is among us. He wants to do things through us. Amen. And we are not all endowed with the same gifting. Just like parts of your body are not all the same. But each part is important. Amen. So read that one first, 2 Corinthians 6:16 NLT.
And what union can there be between God's temple and idols?
Okay, this is the tricky part or the difficult part for those of you who want to continue living in sin and at the same time you want to exercise authority. So this is the problem now. He says, what union is there between God's temple and idols? What other versions even says, what union is there between God's temple and Belial? In other words, if I say I'm a child of God, I've got authority, I've got to live right before God. Because otherwise, if you want to exercise authority, being not living in unity with Christ, you will be disobeyed. You remember the sons of Sceva? Paul used to cast out devils. He would say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her. And then evil spirits would come out. And then the Bible says there were some certain sons of Sceva. They saw Paul doing that and they wanted to do it. They came to another man who was demon possessed. They wanted to exercise that, but they had no relationship with Jesus. You know what they said? In the name of Jesus, let's all say a good start. That's where we must start. In the name of Jesus, I think the devils were shaking a bit. Then, whom Paul preaches. We thought it's your Jesus. Whom Paul preaches, we command you to come out of them. Then the devil said, Jesus we knew, because we heard you saying in the name of Jesus. Paul we know. He's been casting us out a lot. But who are you? And the Bible says that man who was demon possessed, he beat those sons of Sceva and they left the town naked. Why? Because they were trying to exercise the authority without having the owner of the authority in their hearts. Amen? So when it says here, what union is there between God's temple and idols? We've got to make sure that we should be set apart for God's use. And he says, for we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live where? In them. You know, God is in me. I'm not proud. I'm not boasting. God lives in me. I'm a child of God. Who do you think you are? You think you are better than us? He said, I am his temple. He said, I am a royal priesthood, a chosen nation. I represent God. So he says he will live in us. And what will he do? And walk among us. So it means even here in the service, he's here among us. Amen. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Amen. So I want us now to, I need to wind down. I still have a lot to share with you. But let me take this as we prepare to land. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 16 in the King James Version. In New King James Version, I will read it myself for the sake of time. Because I just want to show you that each one of us, we are important in the kingdom. Each one of us has a role to play in the kingdom. We are actually members one of another. Just like members of a body, you know, like with my body, like now, it works in unison. There's no division in my body. When my mouth speaks, all other parts of the body cooperate. You see that? Or since I came here to the front, do you think the ears were competing to also want to speak? Mm-mm. My ears never compete with the mouth in speaking. They know their job. My eyes also never compete with my ears. They know their job. So if you are a child of God and you know your function and your purpose in Christ, you will never compete with anybody. Amen. That's why I also don't compete with any servant of the Lord. I know what the Lord has called me to do. I stick to my lane. I know I'm called as the teacher of the word of God. I know the grace of God upon my life when it comes to teaching the word. And I stick to that. Amen. Because he has given me this grace. Okay? Just like among us, some of you have got a special grace in music. That's a grace. Some of you, you've got a special grace in taking care of people. Your smile, man. People come here to church and they're just attracted by your smile. Okay? Yes, we all have different gifts, different abilities. And each one of us has got a role. So now, Ephesians 4, 1 to 16, New King James Version. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. So I'm also beseeching all of you to walk worthy of your calling. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Amen. You see now, as the body, we've got to bear with one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Jesus wants his church to be united. Amen. Not groups in church. Not divisions in church. Not that one gossiping about that one in church. By the way, some even have guts to gossip about the pastor. Oh. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder what you are. Because how do you do that? How do you do that? So he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And he says, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, let's say to each one of us, there's something for each one of us. So don't worry. We don't all have to come to the pulpit and preach. Just like I'm not in the worship team. Does it make me any inferior, the fact that I'm not in the worship team? There's something special that the Lord has also bestowed upon my life. Amen? So it means whichever position that you are in, the Lord has put you there to benefit the body. Do your part. So it says, but to each one of us, Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So when he gives us gifts, he gives us grace also to do those tasks with grace. When somebody is operating with the anointing, with the endorsement of God, you can see it. There is a special grace. There is no struggle. It flows. Amen. Verse 8. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above heaven, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the Son, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the full stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. I like that. You know, people usually say, oh, it's just that truth hurts. That's why you are hurt. Truth hurts. Truth doesn't hurt if it's spoken in love. Truth hurts if it's spoken in hate. Okay? Speaking the truth in love. You've got to look for ways to speak to a brother or a sister. Speak the truth in love. Express your feeling, but in love. The way that you expect also to be spoken to. Jesus says, do unto others as you would want to be done to you. So you set the standard. So that you may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Verse 16. From whom the whole body, I like this, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. We need you. You need me. According to the effective working by which every part does its share. Are you doing your share? Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So it means we are all important. We all have a role in the body of Christ. The final scripture, let's read Romans chapter 12, and we are going to pray. But I want you to look at this and see that when actually the church, for the church of God to be effective, it's not only about how the knowledge I have of the Lord myself as an individual, but it's also how do we as a collective do things. Okay? Do we acknowledge that we are one body in Christ? Do we acknowledge that we are members of one another? Do we acknowledge that we don't have to pull each other down because we are in the same army? Romans 12, from verse 3, New King James Version. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So Paul is saying there are some people who think more highly than they ought to think. That's where pride comes in. But to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. And individually, members of one another. Tell your neighbor, we are members of the same body. You are my brother if it's a brother next to you, or you are my sister if it's a sister next to you. Tell them who they are. Amen. Amen. And also tell them, I will never gossip about you. I'll pray for you. We are members of one another. We are there to lift each other up. And he says, So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So we are different and we also have different gifts. But each one of us has got a gift. Let us use them. If prophecy, let's prophesy in proportion to our faith. If ministry, let us use it in our ministering. And who teaches in teaching? He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Are you hearing how he's rearranging his body? Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless, now verse 14, this distinguishes a Christian from a non-Christian. Tell your neighbor, verse 14 distinguishes a Christian from a non-Christian. It says, bless what? Bless those who are nice to you. Is that what it says? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Because if it just said, bless people, then you would say, but what about those who persecute me? She did this and I'm also human. I've got blood. I've got blood. I'm human. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Did you see that? Repay no one evil for evil. It means you are a soldier who knows who your enemy is. Your enemy is not flesh and blood. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Now, verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. As much as it depends on you, do your part to ensure that you live in peace with everybody. And then he says, beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So the Lord says, I will handle it. Verse 20, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, what must we do? Let him starve. What does your Bible say? If your enemy is hungry, huh? Was it not time to get payback? Was it not payback time? If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, but you know this one. Unfortunately, your enemy may not think it well. Because when you want to give your enemy the drink or the food, when he's now doubting, this one, giving me food, giving me a drink, I rather starve. Because he doesn't trust you. But as much as it depends on you, do your part to live at peace with everyone. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So it means when evil comes, when somebody provokes you, they are selling something. Okay? Don't buy that thing. When evil comes, overcome evil with good. Don't be overcome with evil. You will be a good soldier of Christ if you do that. Amen? So we've landed now. For the sake of time, I still had many things to share with you. But we've landed so that we can pray. Amen. We need to be a praying church. Amen.